The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
2 Timothy 1, 2. I want to talk to you tonight on a teaching overcoming the fear of what others think about you. Or the fear of man. Now, I've yet to meet somebody that doesn't struggle with this in one degree or another. And I want to show you something to start off about this, that we're dealing with a spirit, a demonic spirit. And the way to get free is through deliverance. And everybody look at me a minute. In the name of Jesus, at the end of this teaching, we're going to believe that the Lord is going to set everybody free. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's the purpose of this teaching tonight, is to build our faith to a level of the knowledge of the Word. Our faith comes by hearing by the Word, so that when we begin to take authority over the Spirit, then you will be free. You will be set free. Now, who was there Monday night at the intercession thing? Okay, all of those that were there Monday night, there's a special anointing, and I'm going to ask you guys to really help in the deliverance when we do it, and lay hands on folks and see power come down and liberating people from this spirit. How many of you honestly struggle with worrying about what people think about you? Worrying about the fear of man, intimidation of others? Well, we're going to deal with that tonight. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2. Timothy, my dear beloved son, Paul wrote, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have memory of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. You got to understand, Timothy and Paul have been together, man, like 13 to 17 years by now, and he's thought of him as a son. And you can see this in all of the Philippians, the Corinthians, the book of Acts. This was like his own son. He loved Timothy. He was his. And you can see his heart just pouring out. I really miss you. I'm thinking about you. And he had left him in charge of the church of Ephesus at the time. I believe that's where he is. But Timothy had a problem. Timothy had a tendency to be timid. It's almost a coincidence, not a coincidence, but the word Timothy was timid. Tim had a timidity problem. So Paul, one of the first things he says in this epistle, look, verse 5. When I call memory the unfeigned faith that was in you, which dwelt in your mother, grandmother and your mother, I'm persuaded in you. See, this Timothy was really blessed, though. He had family line blessings. He says, but I put you in memory that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on my hands. Apparently, one time Paul laid hands on Timothy, and you know, that's how anointing is released. That's how blessing is transferred. That's how power is transferred, particularly in regard to the office of the offices of the kingdom of God, and also the release of anointing. And the apostle Paul apparently laid hands on Timothy and blessed him in the office of bishop of Ephesus at that time, of a presbyter, of a high-ranking office, but also released into him an anointing of Paul himself into Timothy. But the problem was Timothy was allowing that gifting, allowing that anointing, allowing that calling to become lukewarm. He wasn't stirring it up. It was kind of like the waters were becoming still down inside. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? But of power, love, sound mind. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. So what is he telling? Timothy apparently was walking in shame and walking in fear. And he, whatever anointing had been put in his life, whatever office had been released as anointing had been put in his life, it was becoming dormant. And Apostle Paul says, well, you're beginning to be paralyzed by fear, and you're beginning to be ashamed of the gospel and ashamed of me. And I'm calling you to stir up the gift, to stir it up. We're not given a spirit of fear, but a power. That word is agape, unconditional love, of power, dunamis. Love, agape, and sound mind, sophronismos, which means a disciplined, self-controlled mind. He says, you're not, when you yield to fear, perfect love casts out fear, but where there's fear, there's torment. It erodes your ability to love. It leaks out your power, and it messes with your mind. Can you hear an amen? So he said here, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Don't allow your anointing to become dormant. That's one thing we want to do tonight. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 25, if you would. You know, so many believers today are wimps, spiritual wimps, when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Many people tend to be ashamed of the gospel, tend to be ashamed to stand up for the things of the Lord. And as a result, many people are paralyzed. It's almost like a spiritual paralysis that comes on people. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been around certain people and you feel paralyzed? Raise your hand if that's true. There are certain people you get around and you just feel paralyzed. You feel like you can't be yourself. You feel like you're worried what they think about you. You're immobilized. You're paralyzed because of what they think. Well, I'm telling you, that's a spirit and you need to be free. And the problem is many of us, where the reason our gift has become dormant is we forget it's a spirit. We forget who our enemy is. We forget that we can be delivered. We can be set free. But you got to fight. You got to take authority. You got to recognize and rebuke the enemy and keep him off guard. And then you can be free and maintain your freedom. But I submit to you, the fear of what others think about you and the timidity of being that, and the shame of the gospel, it's like ice. It forms very quickly, like putting a glass of water in the freezer. And not very long, there's a thin crust of ice, and it gets harder and harder. You have to constantly be breaking the ice. You have to constantly be reaching out. You have to constantly be getting out there. And I found that true for me. There was a time I was unbelievably bold with the gospel when I first got saved. You know, I witnessed everything, telephone poles, animals. I ran into a jewelry store once in Canal Street, New Orleans, Christmas of 71, 2 weeks before Christmas, and ran in screaming, throwing tracts in the air. Jesus was coming. Must have been 50 people in there. And turned around. They all looked at me with their mouths open like, who is this nut? I ran out. We had a Jesus parade. There were we had a Jesus march down Canal Street into the French Quarter, and there was about 200 Jesus freaks. And we're all staying in a giant circle at City Park, 200 of us, tremendous circle. And this guy had a bullhorn, and he was leading it. For some reason, I was just so excited, he came over and gave me the bullhorn. He said, you lead us. I'm not kidding you. I was just a fanatic for Jesus. I've been saved 6 months. I said, yes, go. And I said, let's go. Let's run. And we just began to tear off down this 200 people. And then we're taking turns. We got out to Canal Street. We had this big cross, and we knelt down. The busy traffic. We were just going crazy. This is how it was in the early 70s in the Jesus movement. There was a time I had great boldness in the faith, but then I got wise. I got mature, and I realized I need to be tempered in these things and wise. And that's true. But Paul talks about zeal with no knowledge in Romans 10. But you know what? The problem is some of us get so much knowledge, we lose our zeal. Can you amen? And you know what? There's nothing more exciting than being a testimony for Jesus Christ. It brings Christianity right down to the bottom line, what it's all about. You know, you can get all confused about all this, but when you just meet somebody that doesn't know Jesus, and you testify, and they repent, and they get saved, you're in touch with what it's all about is rescuing the lost, rescuing people from eternal damnation. Can you amen? Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. That word in the Hebrew is malkesh. It means a noose or a hook. It's a noose. The fear of man, you can hang yourself with the fear of man. It's like a noose that will hang you, will snare you. And I believe it's one of Satan's greatest, most effective weapons. You know, it's bad enough that you went and got saved. It's bad enough that you went and got saved, but he definitely wants to keep you from being bold. Jesus even mentioned, this is not my notes, but turn here to Matthew 5. Jesus even talked about this. Look, the tendency to become reticent. Verse 13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt's lost its taste, what a little salt. It's good for nothing to be cast out. You're a light of the world, a city that's set on a hill. Cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all of their house. Let your light shine before men, that they can see your good works and glorify your Father. Right there, Jesus is saying, be bold. Stand up. Be bold and stand up in the name of the Lord. Can you hear an amen? Turn to John 12:42. You know, know, the fear of what others think is so common. Y'all remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3? The Bible says that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and he came to Jesus when? Anybody remember? At nighttime. It made a point of saying he came to him by night. He was ashamed. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want others to know that he wanted to see Jesus. He was afraid of what others would think. And John 12:42, we're told, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Jesus. That's amazing. Many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they believed on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, the others, they didn't confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. See, the Pharisees wanted to have it both ways. They wanted to have a relationship with the Lord. They wanted to be bold with the Lord, but they were ashamed in the presence of people whose men's persons they wanted respect. They were worried about what others would think about it. The problem is you can't have it both ways. And we're going to see in a minute what Jesus said about that. You're either bold for him or bold for the devil. You're either gathering or what? You're either with me or what? That's the way Jesus drew it. It's either the broad way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads to life. There's not this American way that's kind of not too broad, not too narrow, but just kind of go to church and do your thing and then kind of get a glory mansion on the other side. But we've invented this American way, this middle way. You know, one of the reasons that we're so paralyzed with what people think about us is unhealthy soul ties. A lot of times we're intimidated by people because there's something unhealthy in the spirit. There's a compromise. We've compromised in our relationships. We've compromised. We've not been out on the edge. And as a result, we know we've compromised. And so we're not bold because we don't want to be hypocrites. And one of the reasons people are not bold for Christ is because they try to be bold, try to have it both ways. Wherever there's a lack of honesty, wherever there's a refusal to work out fellowship, it binds you in the spirit. Wherever there's resentment or judgment in your heart, you know what? It keeps you from being yourself. There's nothing more miserable than not being yourself. You know one of the reasons people do drugs and get drunk is because they can't be themselves normally, so when they get high, they can be themselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember when I was in high school, and I used to partake of certain narcotic entities. One of the reasons I would partake of adult beverages. One of the reasons was because I was so insecure and afraid and didn't like myself because there was so much insecurity on me. And I found that when I was a little bit high or drunk, guess what? I could be myself, or so I thought. But what it meant was at least I got my eyes off myself for a little while and could kind of have fun, lighten up a little bit. Then I would always, when it comes up, always what? Then I hated myself all the more because I knew I needed a crutch to be myself. And I'll never forget when I met Jesus, one of the best things about meeting Jesus, and it's been true now, this summer will be 26 years, one of the best things about meeting Jesus, I found out I can be myself and I don't have to use any additives. I don't need any additives. I don't need anything to help me to be myself. Just knowing Jesus, having Jesus in my heart, I can be me. And as you grow in Christ, you become more and more you. You can become more and more. You learn how to be free from the unhealthy soul ties, free from the psychic bonds, free from the things that tie you and cause you to be intimidated by people. Under the power of people, which is witchcraft. A lot of us are afraid of what other people think because we're under the power of witchcraft, and witchcraft is control. Somebody in our life has some kind of a brow-beating ability to intimidate us. And you know what? If you allow them to do that, you're just as wrong as they are in doing it. I'm going to say that again. If you allow yourself to be intimidated by someone, you're just as wrong in the eyes of God as the one intimidating. Because you're allowing the light in you to be crushed. You're not standing up for the truth. It got quiet in here when I said that. You know what, folks? I absolutely hate living under intimidation. I have lived under intimidation most of my life. Most of my life, I was afraid about what someone would think. In fact, in the early years of this church, it was subtle, but there were certain ones in the church in the early formative years that, and not in their intention, not intentionally, but there was a subtle sense of intimidation and judgment put on me. and I, early years of the church, I really strived to be accepted to people. And I realized over the years as we grew and more people left than came, that I might as well give up trying to be accepted to people and just settle to be accepted to God. And I hate being under someone's power. And I remember someone had, I think it was Sherry, had a vision years ago. Remember the satanic canopy over the church? And there were people sitting in the back smug and looking at me, and I was under their power. And the Lord mercifully delivered me from that. And I remember God getting out. It was a Jezebelian spirit that intimidated me. And I was under the power of a Jezebel to a certain degree. I tell you, once you get free from a Jezebel, you never want to get under that thing again. It robbed my, it literally, I would have, right now I don't have any problem getting up a pulpit and preaching, but I remember I would have to work through fear to get up and preach. I would have to work, it would, because there was something in the spirit wasn't right in me until God liberated me to be my own man. And folks, that's the way you need to be. If you're under anybody's power or intimidation, if you feel intimidated by any person, Jesus wants to set you free. Can I hear an amen? There's nothing freer than nothing. Look, what does it matter? I mean, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. What does it matter? One day you're going to stand before Jesus, and the only thing that's going to matter is what you did for him. At that point, it won't matter who you're intimidated by, and you squander years by that kind of thing. You know, some of the boldest people in the Bible wrestle with this. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1. This is comforting. Two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament wrestle with the very thing you and I wrestle with. Jeremiah 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This Jeremiah is right after Isaiah. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctify you, ordained you a prophet to the nation. That's a good verse to show people that are pro-abortion. That God knew Jeremiah before he was even formed in the belly. And look what Jeremiah said. Ah, Lord God, I can't speak. I'm only a child. And you know, I want you to notice something. Jeremiah was intimidated. He was afraid to speak. He was afraid to be bold. But you know, there was something else working. He said, I can't speak. I'm a child. But the Lord saw his heart. What it was really bugging him. Look. And the Lord said, do not say I'm a child, for you go to all that I send you. And whatever you command, what I command you, you'll speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, the Lord knew what the real problem was. He was afraid. He was intimidated by the ones he was going to have to preach to. He was afraid that they would not like him and they would reject him. He was afraid of what others thought. And the Lord saw right through this statement. Oh, I'm just a child. He said, no, the real problem is you've got fear. There's fear. You're ruled by fear, Jeremiah. And look at the verse, solution in verse 9. It says, the Lord put his hand on him. He put an anointing. An anointing delivered him from the fear. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Same thing with him. It's the very next book after Lamentations. Ezekiel 2. These great prophets had the same struggle. Ezekiel 2 verse 3. He said, son of man, I'll send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that's rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this day. They're impudent children, stiff-hearted. And I send you to them, and you'll say to them, thus says the Lord. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear for their rebellious house, yet they'll know that there's been a prophet among them. And you, son of man, don't be afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words, though their briars and thorns be with you. And though you dwell among scorpions. In other words, demonized people. Don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed how they look at you, though they're a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or they forbear, for they're most rebellious. Now look at verse 4 of chapter 3. And he said, son of man, go. Get to the house of Israel. Speak my words to them. Verse 5. For you're not being sent to people of strange tongue or of language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or hard language whose words you don't understand. Surely I had sent you to them, they would have hearkened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you. They will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Aren't you glad we're not like that? Behold, I've made your face, look at this, I've made your face strong against their faces, your forehead strong against their foreheads, as an enamored harder than flint I've made your forehead. Do not fear them. Don't be dismayed by their looks, though they're a rebellious house. Moreover, the Lord said to me, Son of man, all the words I speak unto you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Go, get to the children of captivity, the children of people. Speak to them. Tell them, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they forbear. Now look at verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in the heat and the bitterness of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. The problem was Ezekiel had the same deal. He was afraid. He was intimidated. And not only that, the Lord actually told him ahead of time that the people would be hard-hearted, stubborn, and wouldn't listen. I mean, this is a pretty imposing task, and it's understandably fearful. But, look at the deliverance. Ezekiel was paralyzed. Ezekiel was paralyzed, and what the Lord did to set him free from the paralysis, if you read the context, he literally lifted him up with an anointing and put the hand of anointing on him. He lifted him in the spirit realm, and an anointing hit him and broke the power of the fear off of him. Do you see that? If you read the context, look at Isaiah 51. So the prophets of old struggled with this. Fear, what others people think. Fear of speaking the truth. Fear of sharing the truth or preaching the gospel. Isaiah 51, verse 7. Read with me now. It says, hearken to me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment. The worm will eat them like wool. My righteousness will be forever. My salvation from generation to generation. Awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days. Are not you he that cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Are not you he that dried the sea, the waters of the deep, that made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Look at verse 12. I am he that comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that'll die and of the son of man who'll be made as grass? And you forget the Lord your maker and stretch forth the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and you feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is he? You know what? You know what this verse is doing? It's trying to give you perspective. We tend to be so afraid of what people think, and we're not afraid of what God thinks. Can you amen? We're more concerned what other people think, what other people feel about us, to the neglect of what God feels. Who are you that you're afraid of a man that you'll perish? And you're worried every day. I'm he that stretched forth the heavens. I'm God. I'm he that comforts you. You know, Jesus said the exact, look at the same thing. Luke 12, verse 4. Luke, Gospel of Luke 12. Luke 12, 4. Jesus said, you know what God's trying to do in these verses? Listen carefully. Give you perspective. Give you perspective. You know what? Until you can get delivered. You know one of the reasons we're tired or fearful of what people think? It's because we're stuck in this little bulb, this little globe, this little bubble of a limited existence. We don't have perspective. And look at this perspective Jesus gives us, Luke 12, 4. I say to you, my friends, don't be afraid of them that kill the body and after have that have no more that they can do. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. I mean, Jesus is saying, look, all they can do is kill you. And you go, well, yeah, they can kill me. That's a pretty fearful thing. But look, where's the Lord coming from? Listen, don't be afraid of people. All they can do is kill you. I'm going to kill your body. That's all I can do. That's what the Lord is saying. You go, where is this guy's head? Where is he coming from? All they can do is kill you. I mean, it seems to me that's the most, you know, they say there are powerful drives in men. And some people think the sex drive is the most powerful, but it isn't. You know what the most powerful drive in man is? Huh? Survival. The drive to survive. How many of y'all felt that when he faced the cross? Huh? There's something in us that wants to survive. And yet Jesus says, well, what's all they can do is take your life. Because Jesus had a different perspective. He saw it all from a different way. And that's what his attitude was. All they could do is take my life. Don't fear them. You know, talk about, you know, once you realize you lose your life, you get it back. Once you lose the fear of death, you don't care anymore. That's the beauty of it. I think one of the reasons I was able to be so radical when I first got born again is because I was so close to the world. I was so close to the world. I was a messed up kid, 19 years old, and whatever little I knew of God, I loved God, but I didn't know much about Him at all. And I had got into, like I said, drugs, and I just had a lot of insecurity and fear. And I didn't know you don't know how messed up you are until you meet Jesus. I mean, I thought I was pretty together. But when I met Jesus in that parking lot of that store that day, and I went to that revival that night and gave my heart to Jesus, I went absolutely crazy. I mean, I went to all my friends in Slidell that summer. We were all that night or night after had a big gathering out by the country club where everybody hung out at. Even though you didn't belong, we went out. I remember there was about 20 kids sitting around this campfire. And I stood up there and I began to preach to them about the gospel, holding my cigarette in my hand. I had a cigarette. And I'd smoke my cigarette and blow smoke and tell them that Jesus and I got born again. I never forget, one of them said, "Well, why you got a cigarette in your hand?" It never connected to me that Jesus, I said, "I don't know, because I like him." And I continued to preach the gospel to him. It's the truth. I didn't know that it was wrong. The Surgeon General had not put those statements on the packages back then. Now we know, you read the side. But then about 6 weeks later, I finally went to this prayer meeting. I remember my first prayer meeting I ever saw. It was on the second story of this building in downtown Slidell. And they actually had an apartment on top of this bank. And I heard this was prayer meeting there. I'd never been to one before. And they had a ladder, like an escape ladder in the back. I remember the one Tuesday night, I climbed that ladder and I looked up and I looked in the window and I saw all these people raising hands. And I looked and I went, "No thanks." I went back down, got my car, went home. I was freaked out of going to that meeting. I did not want to go to that meeting. Those people were acting weird. They were standing and waving their hands and stuff, and I was a good Catholic boy. Well, you know, the next week, all that week, God was on me about going to that meeting. Well, I mean, you know how it is every day of the week. It got heavier and heavier and heavier. That Tuesday came, it's all I could think of. And finally, I drove that car back to that meeting that next Tuesday. And this time I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, although I didn't know that at the time, "Don't climb up the back, just go right up the front." So I walked up these stairs, and I mean, it was the scariest thing. By the way, greeters, you have to realize this is the way it is when you're coming right out of the world. I'd been saved about 6 weeks, but I was still scared. And I remember holding that hand and opening the door, and what is in here? And you know, when you've been living in darkness all your life, we don't realize the light that's here and how threatening that is. Can you hear amen? And these people just came up to me and they were being nice to me and normal. And that was weird because all my friends weren't like that. We weren't nice and normal. We were weird because that's how you are in the world. And they were nice and normal and they said, "Come in, sit down." And we sat down and I remember this guy got up and the pastor introduced him as, "He's known Jesus for 2 years." And I remember said, "Wow, 2 years known God." And he gave a sermon. And at the very end, well, no, I went to two or three of those meetings. And the last meeting before I was to go to college, it was August of 71. And I was scared to death to go back to college because I said, "Man, I go back to college, I'm going to get in drugs. I'm going to go right by my friends." And do you know God heard my cry in my heart? And I was sitting on the front seat. We were sitting on the floor back then. That's how you did in these Jesus people meetings. Nobody had shoes. Had Jesus stickers all over you. And the guy who's closing said, and he looked at me and said, "Chris, would you say the closing prayer?" I'd only been to 3 prayer meetings in my life. I'd never prayed in public. He said, "Would you say the closing prayer?" And I mean, I paralyzed. I said, "Okay." I just stuck my head down, and this is true, what I then did. What was going on in me at the time was fear of going back to school and losing Jesus. So that was my closing prayer. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I don't want to lose you. I'm going back to college." talking drugs and drinking and stuff. That was my closing prayer. I promise. And when I was done, I felt this two hands on my shoulders, and I looked up, and everybody was looking at me, but there was particularly this one lady and her daughter. And they were both rather large and Catholic charismatics. And what the mama said, "Do you want power?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take power, whatever." She says, "Come on back here." And they led me through this crowd of people just kind of looking at me. I started getting used to that, particularly when I got to college. And they led me to this back room, and they sat me in a chair and says, "We're going to rebuke the devil off you and give you power." So they laid hands on me. Mine is the third prayer meeting, first time I ever prayed, and they began to pray in tongues. I didn't know what it was. And yell at the devil and put their hands all over me. And all of a sudden, my head threw back. I began to sing and speak in tongues. And I stopped and went, "What was that? What was that?" That's true. That was tongues. Oh, it was tongues. What's tongues? So they showed me in the Bible. I went, "All right, it's in the Bible. That's good enough for me." No great theology to overcome. And do you know, I got in a car, and I'm driving home just singing, and I reached in to pull out one of my, what was I smoking there? Cools, yeah. He's heard this song. I pulled out a Kool, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, and I promise you, and I had been smoking up to a pack and a half a day for 2 years, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "If you'll throw them out the window now, you'll never want one again." I went, "Cool." I threw them out the window. I confess, I littered. And do you know, I never had a desire for a cigarette again in 26 years. Instantly delivered when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Went off to college, and I just went crazy for Jesus. I had a little bicycle I'd ride around. Went in front of this village, the village idiot, we called it. It was a place where all the hippies hung out and did drugs and played chess, you know. On drugs, you know. They played chess. Oh, wow, man. And I would preach to them. In fact, the first day of school, September, all the guys would eat at the girls' dorm. They'd eat at the girls' dorm cafeteria. That's where they ate. And they, before the doors opened, I stood up there, and it was like 200 kids sitting out there waiting, maybe 150. And I looked, I said, "Why not?" I stepped up on the little concrete thing, and I put out my hand. I said, "I have something to say." This is true. And you could have heard a pin drop. And I began to tell 150 people what had happened to me on July 10th and how I met Jesus Christ. And he had saved my life. And then I got down, got in line, went on an 8. But from that point on, whenever I'd walk down the hall, people would be talking, they'd stop. And they'd look away as I walked down. I went into my English class one morning. We had the Hollywood Free Press back then, the Jesus paper. I'd go early and I'd put one on everybody's desk and sit down. And I'd walk in, it all had this Jesus paper on the desk. And I'd be sitting there with a stack of them. All I know is before long, I met this one-legged guy who just come back from Vietnam and lost a leg on a motorcycle wreck. And he was he had some money coming in. And I walked across this parking lot, and this guy had a beer and a bottle of wine in one hand and a girl in the other. And I stopped him. I witnessed to him, and he got saved right there. I'd led about 6 or 8 people to the Lord, and we started a coffee house right there on, right across from the campus, and we called it Maranatha. And I don't know, as people started pouring in, and we had people come, and we fixed up the coffee house, and I was made an elder. I was 4 months old in Jesus. I was one of the older ones. And we began, they had this parade, the homecoming parade, come through Lafayette. And we got behind the homecoming parade, and we handed out Jesus papers to everybody. We made absolute fools of ourselves. Let me tell you, by mid-fall, everybody on campus knew about the Jesus freaks. Everybody on campus knew we were nuts. There wasn't a person on the campus, faculty or student, didn't know Jesus Christ. There were people loving Jesus. And do you know, we had over 600 kids come into that thing, our coffee house, in 3 months and give their life to Jesus. 600 kids. And I was 4 or 5 months old in the Lord. I don't know what I was doing, but I was excited because I was saved. And you know the reason I think the enthusiasm was so much there? Because I was so close to the world. I had come out of the world and I knew what I had gotten freed from. I knew how good it was to be saved. I knew the alternative. But the problem is, if you're like me, when you walk with the Lord a long time, you forget. Amen? You forget how wicked the world is. And we can be out there with people that are just as lost as a goose, just as lost as you were. And we forget what it means to be lost. We forget that they're dying. They're going to hell. We forget because we're so far away from the world. And that's why we need the gift stirred up in us. We need an anointing. We need power to come on us to stir the gift, to stir the passion, to stir the compassion, to love the lost. Can I hear an amen? So Jesus said, verse 5, I'll forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him after he's killed, his power to cast into hell. Fear God. Look, he says, verse 8, and I say to you, whoever will confess me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels, but he that denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. I want you to notice, after he spoke about being free from fear of men, then he talked of challenging to confess him before men. To stand up for the truth, to preach the gospel. Did you know there are people in your network that you are the only opportunity they have to get saved? There are people that you know in your sphere of influence, in your circle, you are the only one. You're the only means God can reach them. You are it. You are it. And if you fail, they may go to hell for eternity. That's the truth. And we need to have the sobriety, the soberness of the truth in our spirits. We need to be woken up from the callous superficiality of our lives and recognize what it's really all about. That there are people in your circle, and you know what? God's got you where you are for that reason. Whether it's in school or at a certain job, or a certain place where you live, God has you there. Because there's somebody there that needs Jesus. And you know what? I can tell you right now, the Lord has already been tugging in your heart. You already know who it is, if you're honest. You already know who it is that needs Jesus. You already know the Holy Ghost has been tugging in your heart. He's been encouraging you to stand up, be bold, tell them about me. But you won't, and neither will I, neither will we. We tend to be fearful. We tend to be timid. It's the devil. It's a spirit of fear. It's shame. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. But we tend to be ashamed of the gospel. Look at Hebrews 13:5. This is how Paul totally got free from the fear of man. There's two or three more places, then we're going to have ministry. Hebrews 13:5. Paul says, let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Look, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want everybody to say that with me. I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. See, there it is. Because we know he will never leave us and forsake us, we can say boldly, I won't fear. What man? What can man do? He can kill me. Now you go, man, that's pretty big stuff. But Jesus said, get it from his perspective. He can take your body, so what? You have eternal life. When you really understand your eternity and eternal life, we're here but for a moment. And as long as you're clinging to your life and you love this wife, in life, Jesus said, he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But when you hate this life, you say, Jesus, thank you for the things you've given me. Thank you for the things you've done, but my heart is in life to come. My passion is in the life to come. I'm here to serve you. I want to be a stranger and pilgrim passing through. My heart, my life, my passion, my vision, my goal is in the life to come. And if it's my time to go, praise the Lord. And if it's not my time to go, praise the Lord. Paul literally said in Philippians, he says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain here is needful for you. He says, I know God's got things that he's told him later in 2 Timothy. He says, I've got a course I have to walk, but I finished my course. Paul said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown, which the Lord, the righteous God, has set up for everyone that loves him and longs for his appearing. You see, the work of the world and the work of the devil is to get us so focused on the things of this life that we forget our true calling is to stand up for the truth, to like Jesus Christ did. That's why they killed him. He wasn't ashamed to stand up for what was right. Even his own family rejected him. He just stood up for what was right because he had his heart in things above. And he knew one day every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. And I've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, do whatever you got to do in my life. The other day the Lord spoke to me. He said, Chris, if you want your people to bring people to Christ, you have to bring people to Christ. If you want your people to be bold with the gospel, you have to be bold with the gospel. Bolder than you've been. If you want people to be free to walk up to strangers and share Jesus, you have to do it. And I wrestled with him a while on that. But he won. And I said, Jesus, whatever you got to do, break me free. Smash me, break me. I want to be free. I want to learn to carry as I used to carry tracks in my pocket all the time. There was a time I went into an apple tree store on Holcomb Drive. You know where apple tree is? Where they used to be? And I went into this apple tree store and I said, Jesus, every single person I see, I'm going to tell them about you as soon as the moment I walk in that door. I never forgot this. And I walked in, I just began to talk to people about Jesus, all about the fruits, all about the vegetables. I'd say, did you know Jesus? And have you heard the good news? And Jesus died to see. By the time I got to the meat section, I was lost in the Spirit. And I was telling each person I came up to. And do you know by the time I got to the soft drinks, a guy knelt down and I led him to Christ. The anointing was so strong in me. By the time I got to the other side of the store, because people were avoiding me by then. Who is this nut? The management was looking for me. I was being calm and just telling people about Jesus. And when I got out of that store and I stood there in the parking lot, it was one of the most profound experiences of my life. Because I said, I'm just simply going to go in there and experiment and tell everybody I see about Jesus. Someone got saved. At the time, what I used to do, this is since I've had a little more wisdom, but I asked him and the guy, but the conviction fell on this guy. Since then, I've learned some more wisdom about witnessing. That if they're hardened, if they're resistant, then I give them the law. But if they're soft, pliable, and open, then I give them grace. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Amen? If they're hardened or tough or resistant, then you say, well, you know the scripture says, and you start telling about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And did you know the Holy Ghost will give you words of knowledge in the public? I'm telling you, one time I was talking to this, it was a teenage girl. And I went up to her and I was telling her about Jesus. And as I was looking at her, and I was saying, Jesus help me, I suddenly sensed the word adultery over her head, and she was a teenage girl. And I knew she wasn't married. So I thought, well, how can she be an adultery? And then the Spirit, my common sense said, well, because she's having an affair with a married man. So we were talking, and I said, excuse me, but are you? And then I paused. I said, I got to say this somewhat other than totally blunt. But then I thought, but Jesus didn't to the woman at the well, did he? And he did the same thing. And so I said, are you currently in a relationship that you shouldn't be in? And I remember her eyes went like this. And I said, it's a married man, isn't it? And her jaw dropped. And I mean, she was totally there. Time stopped for this woman. And I said, the Lord told me you're in an adulterous affair with a married man. And the Lord wants you to repent of that or you will destroy your life. Because the secrets of her heart have been exposed. Let me tell you something. One time I was sitting on the side of a building. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We used to go out Friday night to this wild and crazy headbanger bar. What was it called, Craig? Axiom. They would have the skinheads, you know, the Nazi skinheads, and these kids with orange and purple spikes. And then they would have the Satanists, and the Satanists, I remember a Satanist came up to me one night and said, man, you gotta help me. And I've been witnessing to him for a few weeks. So he said, man, last night my walls began to talk to me, man. I said, you need help, dude. Jesus. But I'm sitting there one night, and this guy comes up and his drink, it's about 2 in the morning, and drink, and, why are you Jesus freaks? I hate you, Jesus freaks. And he kept going on and on and on and on. And his other guys went, hey, cool, man, they're alright. These Jesus freaks are okay. Because we were cool. We were very laid back. But this guy went on and on and was cursing me. And I'm trying to talk to this one guy. He just cursed me. So finally I said, and I just started ignoring him. First I was he's trying to get a rise out of me. So finally I ignored him. Talked to this other guy. Well, suddenly he stopped me. He came and sat next to me and was listening. He was sitting right next to me, drinking his wine bottle, listening to me talk to this guy. I looked at him and I kept talking. Finally I said, are you interested in this? Oh, no, I'm not interested. No, Jesus, look at it. Jesus is not for me. I hate God and all this, you know. And I'll tell you, this is the truth. I looked at him, and it was sort of like the time Jesus looked at remember the rich young ruler who came to him and said, and it says the Lord loved him. I looked at him. I felt this love. And suddenly as I looked at him, the spirit world opened up, and I knew something about him. I knew that when he had been a child, he'd been dedicated to the Lord. And that his mother had told him he'd be a preacher someday. I saw that in the spirit. So I said, when you were a baby, you were dedicated to the Lord, and your mother told you you were going to serve the Lord someday. And I'm telling you, God hit that guy. I mean, wham! He instantly sobered up, and he began to cry. He began to weep. You know why he was so antagonistic and vocal against me? Anybody know why? Who was he really fighting? He was fighting God. And I represented God, so it all came out. It manifested. And he'd been fighting God, and God nailed him. Let me tell you something. That's where the gifts of the Spirit are. The few things are, like the time I was carrying that cross in the campus of UT, University of Texas. I was carrying this cross down all over the campus. There was a bunch of kids waiting on a red light, about 30 of them or something. And I took that as an impromptu sermon. And I stood there and gave them a sermon. And it's funny, they parted like the Red Sea as I went through. I came up to this woman, this girl standing by this palm tree, and she looked at me, and I had this cross on my shoulder. And I remember God just told me everything about it. It was amazing. He told me her name. I knew that she'd been dating this guy and wasn't anymore. I just began to tell her about her life. And she just literally crumpled down on the ground, sitting and cried and wept. And some other Christians came up behind me. And God knew this. Some campus Christians, even if I finally found me, they were campus crusaders or something, they came up and I connected them and went on. I believe that girl's serving Jesus today. You know, that's where you experience the gifts. Amen? Amen? Out on the front lines, faith works by love. As we're willing to get out of ourselves, lose our reputation, be bold, guess what? The gifts of the Spirit will come. That's when it's fun. The gifts are fun. It's really exciting to learn to hear God's voice in public. You know, there's a book John Wimber wrote called Power Evangelism. We used to talk a lot about power evangelism. That's what power evangelism is being in a public place. If you're in a store or a restaurant, what you ought to do is say, Lord, I'm available. Show me. What do you have to... And like one time John Wimber was in a plane and he asked the Lord that. He looked over and he saw on this guy's forehead the word adultery. And he did a double take and it wasn't there. He literally saw the word adultery. He said, oh, God, I was looking forward to a nap. And he knew God said, so he got up, sat next to this guy, began to talk to him. And the guy's wife had gone up. There's one of these big old jets where they had a pub upstairs. You know, the upstairs little bar. And his wife was upstairs. And he told him, you're having an affair with another woman. And the guy began to weep. And he led him to Jesus right there. And it went on about 15 minutes. And then the guy said, well, should I tell my wife? He said, yes, you should tell your wife. And by that time, the wife comes back, and John gets back in his seat, and he tells her, and he watches the wife manifest, freak out. Then John was able to go over and lead her to Jesus. He led them both to the Lord, and he was going to take a nap. Amen? That's real. That power is available. And we're going to be talking more and more about power evangelism in the days to come. Look, two more places, Acts 4. You don't get more timid than Peter. What did Peter do with a bunch of servant girls around the fire the night Jesus was crucified? Anybody remember what Peter did? He denied Jesus. He was a great bold Peter, willing to jump out on the water. You know, had open mouth, stick in foot. I mean, Peter even rebuked God. He was a rebuke. I mean, Peter was bold, but you know what? He got all timid and scared and fearful and worried about what the guards would think about him. And he got fearful. And he denied Christ. You know, then something happened on Pentecost. He got power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost hit him, and he went crazy with power. And look what happened. They came and they stood before the high priests. They dragged him, verse 6, Acts 4, 6, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. This is all the political leaders. As many as the kindred of the priests had gathered together in Jerusalem, and when they set them in the midst, this was Peter and John. This is Peter, who was so scared a few weeks before. By what name of power have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, you rulers and elders of Israel, if this day we're examined, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to proclaim Jesus Christ. And look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Man, those guys were bold. They weren't afraid of anybody. They were liberated from the fear of man, liberated from what people thought, because they've been touched with the Holy Ghost power. One more place, Mark 8, verse 22. And then we're going to pray. Mark 8, 22. And Jesus came to Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to Jesus, and they besought him to touch him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why? Because Bethsaida had a curse on it. And when he spit on his eyes, never saw that verse before. Jesus spit in the guy's eyes. And put his hands on him. He asked him, what did he saw? And they looked up and the guy said, I see men as trees walking. Do you see that? I see men as trees walking. Well, then he put his hands on him again. And he made him look up. And he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. I want you to underline that. He saw every man clearly. Now there's a message in that. When Jesus touched him the first time, he saw men as trees walking. What is a tree? A tree is a formidable. It speaks of a height. He saw men of great stature. In other words, he said, I see men as trees walking. I see men of great stature. I'm intimidated by these men that are trees. So the Lord touched him again. And his eyes were restored. And then what? He saw what? Every man clearly. His eyes, the scales from his eyes fell, and he suddenly saw every man clearly, the way men are, really. There's no reason to fear a man. I don't care who it is. How many of y'all want the second touch? The Lord had to touch Jeremiah, remember? And he was freed. The Lord touched, put his hand on Ezekiel, he was freed. The Lord put his hand on this man, and he was liberated. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift I gave you with the laying on of hands so you can be free from shame. And the Lord wants to give us deliverance tonight. Put up your Bible, put it under the chair. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I pray. You can just stay seated right now. Just put your butt, get everything off your lap. Jesus, I pray that you would come with power tonight. Jesus, we have been reticent. We have been passive. I've been reticent. I've been passive. I've lost the zeal and the boldness I once had. Thank God you've given me understanding and knowledge and wisdom. But Jesus, I've lost that fire. And I know I want it back. And I know what you said, Lord, that if this body is going to move in that zeal, I got to move in that zeal. This body's going to move in that fire, I got to move in that fire. But Lord, I ask for myself and for all of us that you would strip the scales from our eyes. Because Lord, you said in the Bible, don't be afraid of what a man can do. All he can do is kill you. Some of us are afraid just of someone's looks, like Ezekiel. But Lord Jesus, we want to have it your perspective. We want to be afraid of you. We want to have the fear of God in our life. We want you to be pleased. Lord, we want the Holy Ghost anointing. We want signs and wonders. We want gifts. We want experience. We want to covet the best gifts. We want the spirit of word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and prophetic revelation, Lord Jesus. Lord, and discernment of spirits, Lord, and miracles and power. Lord, we want the healing gifts. We need them, Lord. Lord, we've got faith works by love. Lord, break the pride. Break the fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Lord, that we would go out and we'd be willing to love those, Lord. The fields are white into harvest. Lord, you've called forth laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, Lord Jesus. We've been reticent. We've been passive, Lord. We repent, Jesus. We repent, Jesus. We repent, Jesus. We repent, Jesus. We repent. Lord, we repent. Lord, we repent. Lord, we repent, Lord Jesus. Break us. Break us of the pride. Break us, Lord, of the pride. Break us of the fear. Break us of the self-centeredness, Lord. Break us, Lord. Break us. Get on your knees. Break us. Break us, Lord. Break us, Jesus. Break us. We repent, Lord. We repent, Lord Jesus. Self-focus, Lord. Focused on ourselves, Lord. Break us, Jesus. Break us, Lord. Break us, Lord. We're blinded by the things of this world. We don't understand what it means that all men can do is lose our life. We love our life, Lord. We love our life, Lord. Well, we need to hate our life, Lord. Help us to hate our life. Lord, give us eternal perspective. Lord, help us put our heart in things above, not on things of the earth. Lord, liberate us from the captivity of the world. Liberate us from the captivity of things. Liberate us from the captivity of other people. Lord, set us free. Move with power. Move with power. Move with anointing. Move with anointing. Move with the gifts, Lord. Lord, stir up the gift among us. Stir up the gift in this church. Stir up the anointing, Lord Jesus. Break us, Lord. Break us. Break us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come with power, Lord. Come with power, Lord. Break us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We're blind. We're blind. We see men as trees walking. Oh, we're blind. We're blind. We need you to touch us, Jesus. We're intimidated like Jeremiah, Lord. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're little children. Oh, Lord, come, Lord. Come with anointing. Lift us up in the spirit like you did Ezekiel, Lord. Lord, we don't care for the lost. People dying around us. People lost around us. We're too worried about our thing, Lord. Too busy. Oh, too selective, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you said go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we walk around saying, not until the Lord quickens it to me. You've already spoken it in your word. You've already said, if there's any quickening, we ought to be quickened not to preach the gospel. Oh, Lord, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for the world that's come into our lives, Lord Jesus. Break us, Lord. Separate us, Lord, from the world. Separate us from the things of this world. We want to see revival, Lord Jesus. It's happening in these days. Real revival is happening. Lord, we don't want it to pass us by. We want the river to flow right through the middle of new wine. Lord, we want the river, Lord, but we've got to break. We've got to repent. We've got to repent. Oh, the hardened heart. The callous ways, the love of the world, the love of the flesh, and the love of the devil. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Oh, bring repentance, Lord. Bring repentance, Lord. Break our hearts tonight. Oh, Lord, come, Lord, break us, Lord. Break us, Lord. Break us, Jesus. Break us, Jesus. Break us, Jesus. Expose the sin. Expose the sin. Selfishness, Lord. Oh, Lord, some of us are so timid. Father, you've done so much for us. And the way we show you love is by loving others, Lord. To love our neighbors, ourselves, Lord. That's the way we show you love. That's the way we give unto the Lord, as we reach out to the lost and the hurting and the dying. And then, Lord, we're willing to step out and be fools for Christ. Lord, willing to be rejected. You were despised and rejected a man of sorrows, Lord. And we're so offended when we're rejected in the least. Lord, forgive us, Lord. You've given us so much. You've given me so much, Lord Jesus. You've given me eternal life and many, many years of blessings, Lord. Oh, forgive me, Lord, for passivity. Oh, come with repentance, Lord. Come with repentance, Lord. We'll never get free of the fear until we repent. Until we repent from our heart, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Oh, da 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 Break us, Jesus. Break us, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lord, forgive us for looking at ourselves. Our eyes glued on ourselves, Lord Jesus. We can't see anything around us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to open the blind eyes tonight, Lord. Open the blinded eyes, Lord. Blinded and hardened hearts, Lord. Break the hardened hearts. Melt us, Lord. If we want that river to flow, Lord, that river is a river of evangelism. That river is a river of salvation. That river is a river reaching out to the lost. And you want to pour it out in this area, Lord. And we want to be a part of it, Lord. Oh, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, drive a sword in our spirits. Drive a sword, a holy sword in our spirits, Lord. We ask you to divide between soul and spirit tonight, Lord. Divide us, Lord. Divide our soul from our spirit, Lord. Deliver us from the soullessness, Lord. Deliver us from listening to the voices, Lord. The evil spirits we've listened to, Lord. The ways it draws us into reticence and fear and doubt and self-pity. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, forgive us. We've been passive. Lord, we've lost our fire. Lord, we lost our first love. We've lost our first love. Lord, we want it back. Lord, we want to do the first works. Go back and do the first works so we can be restored to our first love. The zeal and the fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord would come among us. Lord, come with fire. Come with fire into this church, Lord. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Yes. Teach us how, Lord. Lord, right now, I know many of you, there's certain ones and you're coming in your mind's eye, certain people. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of certain people in your network, in your sphere, the people you relate to, that He wants you to talk to Him about Jesus. What He wants you to do is to begin to pray for that person. He wants you to start by praying for them earnestly. Pray for them day and night. Pray for them. Agonize for them. Pray for them. And God will begin to open the doors for you to share. He doesn't want you to force your way in. He just wants you to begin to have a heart of compassion, a heart that cares. That's all. If you have a heart that cares, then He will provide abundant opportunity. The problem is our heart has not cared. Or we've cared, but we haven't been willing to do. Repent of that and tell Jesus you're willing to pray for that one that He's putting on your heart, to pray to hold him up, to tell others to pray, to put them on the prayer list, prayer chain. To fast for them. To seek God and agonize for them. And then see God open a door where you'd be privileged to lead them to Him. You'd be privileged to actually lead someone to Christ. Disciple them. That would be the greatest joy of your life. All God asks you tonight is that you would open your heart. Open your heart and care and care for someone that's hurting and dying and lost in your network, in your sphere, or the people you interface with every day or see. Open your heart and let Him put His care inside of you so that it will be the foremost thing in your life is to testify and witness for Jesus. You willing to do that tonight, everybody? Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Hang on, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And I ask You just to flow with the Spirit of the room right now, Lord. I ask You to pour the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the room. And, Lord, to the degree that there's been repentance in the lives here, to that degree do I ask that You would liberate them from the fear. For the fear will go to the degree that we repent, Lord, of giving into them. And if you've really repented in your heart and with all your heart, said, Jesus, do whatever you got to do. I want my first love back. I want a zeal and a passion. I want to care. Then God's anointing is going to be here any moment now to liberate you from every spirit of intimidation and fear of the devil, of the devil. Stand up. Stand up tonight. Stand up. Stand up in the name of the Lord. I want you to push these chairs back. Push the chairs out of the way. Just fold up the chairs, push your Bibles, just have a kind of an open area up here. Pick up your Bibles if you can. Stand back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Everybody come on in here. I want all of those that were there Monday night to come up here with me and face the crowd. Those that were there Monday night, everybody else kind of back up a little bit. Those who are there Monday night, come up and just face. Turn to face the crowd. Face the crowd. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that must be. Pardon me. Sorry. Lord, we pray that You would come with a river right now in the Spirit. And I know that these that were there Monday night, there was such an anointing zapped and hit us. And I'm not saying they don't need more touch, but I know that there was an anointing. I ask them to transfer that anointing to everyone here. Lord, we pray that You would come and deliver us from the demon of fear, the spirit of fear and intimidation. Now I want you to say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for giving into fear, intimidation, and worrying about what people think. I want to be more worried about what You think than what anybody else thinks. Forgive me, Lord. I turn from that with all my heart. I need You to set me free. Because this is a familiar spirit. It dogs me, Lord. Follows me around. And I listen to it. And I need Holy Ghost power. I need the living water to break this demon off me. So I can be bold. I can be fearless. I can be a fool for Jesus. Come, Lord. Okay, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Right now, I ask You just to come with now anointing. Come with power. 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 Come with power in the name of Jesus. Come with power in the name of Jesus. Come with power. Lord, I ask You to bring power into this place. Power to break the back of the devil. Power to break the stronghold of the devil. Come with the power. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Come with love. Come with love. First love, Lord. Liberate us. Liberate us. Liberate us in the name of Jesus. Liberate us in the name of Jesus. Come with power. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver. 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 Deliver in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to go. I command you to go. I command you to go. Spirit of fear, I command you to go. 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 Leave, leave, leave the spirits. Leave the spirits. Leave, leave. You guys start walking through and laying hands on people. Go on, work them. Start laying hands on people. Work the crowd. Leave, leave, leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave. Go, spiritual fear. Go, fear. Go, 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 go. I break your power. I break your power. Come off. Come off fear and intimidation. I command you to come off in the name of Jesus. the name of Jesus. Come on, come off in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come off. I command more power. Power. Power, Lord. We need power in this place. We need power, Lord. Power and anointing, Lord. We need your anointing and power, Lord. Liberate the saints. Fear. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Go in the name of the Lord. I command you. Fear. Fear what people think. Fear, worrying about myself. Break me, Lord. Break me, Lord. Break me, Lord. Break the fear, reticence. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Liberate us. Liberate us. Liberate us in the name of Jesus. Come with your water. Come with your river. Come with your river. Come with the river. Come with power. Power, Lord. Power in this house. We need power. We need anointing. Break this hole, Lord. Break these devils off our life. Break this fear, Lord. This intimidation. Break it in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to leave these saints. I command you to leave these saints. In the name of the Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Power. Need your power. Need your power. Go. Lay hands on them. If the Lord has ministered to you, turn around and lay hands on someone else. If the Lord has ministered to you, put your hands on someone else. Give away what you got. Come. Come, power. Power in the name of Jesus. Come with power in the name of the Lord. Come with power in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the power in the name of the Lord. Power, power, more, more, more in the name of Jesus. Power, come down on them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Power. Receive the power. Receive release. Receive power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Power, power in the name of the Lord. Come with power in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want you to know. Come with power. Power in the name of the Lord. Power, Lord. Lord, liberator. Liberator from fear. Liberator in the name of Jesus. Come with power in the name of Jesus. More power. More, Lord Jesus. More. More. Lord, take her eyes off herself. Take her eyes off herself. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, now. Come with power. I release you in the name of Jesus. I release you in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the devil. I break the power of Satan. I break the power of the fear. I command you to loose this woman. Loose her tongue. Loose her tongue in the name of Jesus. Loose her eyes. Loose her mind in the name of the Lord. Come, Lord. Come, receive. Receive the grace. Receive power. Receive the power in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let God's power fall on you. Let his anointing hit you. That's what you've been missing. That's what you've been longing for. That's what will satisfy you. Release your heart to him. Abandon yourself to Jesus today. Abandon yourself to God. Abandon yourself. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Abandon yourself to the Lord. Abandon yourself to him. Let the Spirit of the Lord fall on you. Let him break you. Let him release you in the name of Jesus. Lord, just pour the Holy Ghost in this room. Lord, I ask you to pour the Holy Spirit in this room. Come, Lord, come. Come. I'll pray. Pour the Holy Ghost in this room, Lord. Come with a tidal wave of the Holy Ghost. A tidal wave, Lord. Come with a tidal wave, Lord. Come with a tidal wave of power. Come with a tidal wave, Lord Jesus. Come with power. Come with power. Come with power, Lord. Come with anointing, Jesus. Come with the power of anointing. Come with anointing, Lord. Come with anointing, Lord. I break the power of the devil. I break the power of resistance. I break the power of fear. I break the power of worrying about what people think. Some of you are standing there worrying about what people think right now. You're worried about what people think right now. Get out of it. Get out of yourself. Say, Jesus, do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you got to do. Set me free. I don't want to worry about what people think. I just want to be free. I hate being in bondage. I hate it. Jesus, come. Set me free. Send the water. Send the river. Send the river. I need the water. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm dying. I need the water. Come with power. Come with power. Come with power in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Come with power and anointing. Come with power and anointing, Lord. Liberate the saints tonight. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Power. Release. Anointing. Jesus wants to do a fresh thing in your life tonight. He wants to set you free. Let go. Come with power. Come with anointing. Release. Come and set them free tonight, Lord Jesus. Set them free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come with power tonight, Lord. Liberate the saints. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I bind the devil. Give up your sins. Give up the secret sins. Let them go. It's not worth it. Whatever's on your heart, say, Jesus, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be liberated in power. I want deliverance. I want healing. I want the gifts of the Spirit. I want to flow in the supernatural. I want to see in the Spirit. I'm tired of the flesh. I'm tired of the soul. I don't want the soul anymore. It's dry and dusty and boring. I want the Spirit where there's life eternal. I want eternal life. I want eternal life of the Spirit. Oh, I don't want to be caught in the soul anymore. I want power. I want power. I want the real thing. I want the real thing. I'm sick of the boring thing. I want the real thing. Power, power, more power, Lord. More, turn up the power. Turn up the power. Turn up the water, Lord. Turn up the faucets, Lord. More power, more power. Healing, healing, deliverance, 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 deliverance in this room in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Turn up the power, Lord. Turn up the water, Lord. Heal. More power. More. More in the name of Jesus. Lord, break the power of the world. Break the power of the flesh. Break the power of the devil off of this, Lord. Come with anointing over this place, Lord. Liberate the saints tonight, Lord. Liberate the saints with power, Lord. Liberate them with anointing, Lord. Oh, move, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Move in power. Move with your water, Lord. Stir the waters up. Stir up the waters, O Lord Jesus. Stir up the giftedness, Lord. Break the power of shame. I break the power of shame over us, fearing the testimony of the Lord. I break the power of fear in Jesus' name. Loose love, Lord Jesus. Loose soundness of mind, Lord. Oh, loose power in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Liberate the minds. I break mind control. Mind control. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Mind control. Lying spirits. False imaginations. I break the power of wayward imaginations. False imaginations. I break the authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you need to anoint people. Lord, come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. More power. More power in the name of Jesus. Anoint you with oil in Jesus' name. Anoint you with oil. Release you in the name of Jesus. Church, anoint you with oil in Jesus' name. Release you, Lord. Release you, Lord Jesus. Release your Father. More power and release.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.